The Controllers Union disputes the FAA's rosy hiring news. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. On Friday last week, the FAA issued a press release late in the day, announcing that it exceeded its projections for hiring new air traffic controllers in fiscal year 2007, which ended on September 30th. On Monday, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association responded with a teleconference for news organizations. You'll hear from former Chicago TRACON controller Ray Gibbons, who retired at age 49, on the first day he was eligible to do so. You'll also hear from Long Beach Tower controller and assistant NATCA facility representative Jason Cristaldi, who has been a controller for 4 years. In the second half of today's special feature, you'll hear a portion of the reporter Q&A session. This press conference ran over 45 minutes, and many of the questions from reporters for general media covered topics already familiar to Aero News readers and listeners, so that portion of the conference has been edited for length. We'll start with the opening statement from Patrick Foray, president of NATCA.
Yeah, FAA air traffic controllers today are working their 415th day without a contract. This is taking a very serious toll on the controller workforce and the nation's aviation system. Only once in our nation's history have we seen conditions in air traffic control facilities that are as acrimonious, overworked, overstressed, demoralized, and angry as we do today, and that was in the period leading up to the 1981 PACO strike. The FAA last Friday rushed out a press release late in the day in a desperate attempt to put a positive spin on a situation that we firmly believe is quickly spinning out of control. There is only one possible solution to this crisis. We must have a contract. The House of Representatives last month passed an FAA bill that would send us back to the contract table, but until the Senate acts on its own version and the two bills are reconciled in conference, the situation will worsen. Veteran controllers must have an incentive not to retire once eligible. Experienced controllers need a reason to use the 6-plus years of service they have left before mandatory retirement to keep the system running today and train tomorrow's controllers without being burned out and driven to total exhaustion. Make no mistake about it, our system is on the brink of a total breakdown because of careless and reckless actions of the FAA, which failed to get ahead of a staffing crisis years in the making. Flight delays are at an all-time high and will get worse. This is because the FAA is forcing veteran controllers with 20 or more years of experience out the door while they rush to bring in new hires, including many off the street with very zero experience, who are being thrown into a firestorm of crushing traffic demands, fewer rest periods, and inadequate training. New controllers need years of seasoning to be able to move traffic as quickly as veterans who have been doing it for 20 years or more, and to possess the knowledge, quick decision-making, flexibility, and moxie to move the system at peak efficiency. During classroom training in Oklahoma City, the FAA is paying its new hires less than servers at local restaurants, with no benefits, no student loan assistance. When they reach their first facility, the agency is paying them 30% less than they did before the current contract impasse, which has led an unprecedented number of them to quit due to the inability to make ends meet. So far, 201 have quit in this fiscal year, 2007 to be exact. The problem has gotten worse. Four trainees at Miami Center have quit this month alone because there are too many new hires in the building than the FAA can handle and train. In addition, we have learned that 85% of the job offers made to new employees in the FAA's Eastern Terminal Service Unit, ETSU, this past year were declined. Of the 482 candidates offered a job as a union as an air traffic controller, 417 turned the job down. The ETSU, as it's called, comprises about one-third of the nation's terminal air traffic control facilities. This is a major reason why the FAA earlier this year threw out its longstanding rule that you had to have either a college degree at an FAA-accredited program, a military civilian Department of Defense air traffic control experience in order to work as an FAA controller. The FAA went instead to Facebook, MySpace.com, Craigslist, and even advertising city buses to find enough people off the street to fulfill their HR-driven new hire target for this past fiscal year, which, by the way, was re-baselined by nearly 700 from the original projection because of the record number of veteran controllers that retire due to the lack of a contract. Many of these new hires are being put into the busiest FAA facilities with zero experience. This has never happened before, my friends, for good reasons. And this speaks to a level of desperation the FAA has reached now. This is a very dangerous and not fair to these new hires either. Today we report to you some very sobering facts that about how the lack of a contract is driving out our most experienced controllers into retirement. From September 3, 2006, the Labor Day weekend date in which the FAA imposed work rules and pay cuts on controllers, until September 30, 2007, 953 experienced and fully certified controllers retired. That's 953. That's 8.3% of the total workforce of fully certified controllers, and is 40% more than the FAA projected. In just the 2007 fiscal year, which ran from October 1st, 2006 to September 30th, 2007, that number is 856 controllers who retired. That's 33% more than the FAA projected of 643. However, what's more staggering is the total attrition of controllers in fiscal year 2007. That number is a whopping 1,558. That number includes the 856 retirements, the 201 resignations, 136 who were fired or died, and a staggering 365 who left their controller jobs to take an FAA supervisor's position because it was the only way they'll ever get a raise or fair treatment. This total attrition is 30% more than the FAA projected. And here's perhaps the most compelling evidence that the lack of a contract is the reason for the surge in retirements. Of the 856 who retired in fiscal 2007, only 16 of them were forced out by the mandatory retirement age of 56. That's 16. Everybody else left because they are fed up with the FAA's draconian treatment. They walked out the door with several years of experience still left on the table that the agency desperately needs to keep the system running at peak efficiency and safety. This is because the FAA cares only about cutting salary costs and overpowering, intimidating, and demoralizing its workforce, at the same time keeping their own supervisors fully staffed and flush with cash. And I'll make a note, 25% of the FAA management now makes what a member of Congress makes, and then add on to that their differentials and overtime pays and everything else that they get. As many of you know, former FAA Administrator Marion Blakey was fond of saying that the lack of a contract would not affect retirements. In April 2006, right after the FAA broke off talks with NATCA, Blakey said controllers, quote, would be acting against their own self-interest, unquote, by retiring. She stated, quote, there is not going to be any mass run for the exits. What a tragic misstatement this turned out to be. Blakey is dead wrong. As stated before, the FAA has missed its retirement projection on the 415 days we suffered without a contract by 40%. It got so bad, the FAA, this past year, fiscal year, that their human resource department had to furiously scramble to keep up with the retirement paperwork and even tried to pull a fast one over on Congress and the media by twice rebaselining their retirement projection more than halfway into the fiscal year when it became apparent that the staffing plan would fail miserably. The FAA in March revised its projection from 700 retirements and raised it again to 800 a few months later, yet the FAA only ended up missing this number by 7%. In closing, I'd like to read a few lines from a resignation letter by Shesley Gonzalez, who left Miami Center as a trainee on October 13th. Shesley writes, "There is growing tension in Miami Center that can be felt upon entering the control room. The staffing crisis has reached a point that forces fully certified controllers to work 10-hour days, 6 days a week. The controllers are exhausted, causing morale to be low and making it a very negative atmosphere to work in, not to mention the adverse implications that it has on safety. This is also the opinion of seven other trainees that have resigned from the facility this year. Within the past year, the FAA has begun hiring off-the-street employees. These are people without experience in the field of air traffic control, without CTI, and that's the Controller Training Initiative certification from 13 schools around the country, and with no military experience. It is appalling to think that the FAA would rather hire off the street than retain an employee with all those qualifications, a passion for the work, an investment of 8 years towards that work, and a willingness to do the work at a lower salary than his senior counterparts. I am fully aware that my resignation is of little importance to Miami Center and the FAA. However, I am confident that when enough people become aware of the problem, something will eventually get done to correct it." Let me now please introduce Ray Gibbons. Ray retired last week on his 25th anniversary date with the FAA, which made him eligible to retire, despite the fact that he is 49 years old and had 7 years left that he could have worked before mandatory retirement age of 56. Ray, thanks for joining the call.
Hi, Pat. Thank you, and good morning, everyone. As Pat mentioned, to the 25 years to the day of my hiring when I became eligible last Thursday, I reluctantly ended my career as an air traffic controller. I was hired, and a little bit on my experience, spent 3 years at Peoria, Peoria Tower and Approach Control, transferred to O'Hare Tower, where I worked for 4 years, and then the remaining 18 years at O'Hare Approach Control. I've seen an incredible transformation in this agency over that time, and it's the last 5 years on the way out is as frustrating and disheartening as one could imagine. And you spend 20 years as I have in a very rewarding occupation, and just see it get stripped apart piece by piece, it's hard to explain unless you're there witnessing it. So I have many things I can address from a personal standpoint and on the specifics of the facility I retired from, the difference in training aspects, the experience and staffing that is literally diminishing before the system's very eyes, and unfortunately it's underneath the radar of the general public. But that's what we as NACA and Pat and Doug are trying to educate people on, and you really need to hear it from the people on the ground floor and not the upper levels and administrators of the agency who unfortunately are destroying it while they're speaking a different line. So I'll leave it at that and wait for question and answers as far as specifics, but just a little bit about myself, and I'll pass it over to Doug.
Thanks, Ray. I appreciate that. Just I did forget to mention Ray was a controller at Chicago Tracon. I'd also like to introduce Jason Cristaldi. Jason is 4 years in the FAA, and he is a controller at Long Beach Tower. He became an on-the-job trainer in April, as would have it, and he also serves as a NAC assistant FAC rep at Long Beach. Jason, please speak.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Like that said, my name is Jason Cristaldi. I'm at Long Beach. Long Beach is a complex and busy for a smaller facility. We're approximately the 15th busiest airport in the country. Our current fully certified staffing is 17 controllers, with two retirements next year and two selected out to another critically staffed facility. This is at the bottom of the implemented FAA's range of 17 to 20 controllers. Before they imposed work rules, NACA and the FAA's agreed-upon number was about 27 controllers. We currently have six trainees going through the process, with one arriving next month. Controllers are working extreme amounts of overtime. Many are close to 200 hours of overtime this year. Some have already accumulated over 200 hours. One controller is closing in on 300 hours. As a whole, Long Beach Tower is approaching 2,700 hours of overtime this year so far. One of the biggest hurdles we new hires are experiencing is dealing with this new pay system. I'm getting paid 35% less than what I was first told. Living in Southern California, the cost of living is expensive. Being a new air traffic controller no longer comes with the stigma of living comfortably. We often find ourselves sacrificing something, either food or other essentials. I often find myself bringing in extra food so the new hires do not have to eat out of the vending machine. Furthermore, the FAA required me to go to college to become an air traffic controller. And I, like many of the new hires, have about $100,000 in student loans. Had I been paid what I told I would make, making the student loan payments would not leave me living paycheck to paycheck. Adding the insult to injury, like Pat said, the FAA is hiring people off sites like MySpace, Craigslist, Monster.com, or bus advertisements, and not requiring them to have the same educational background they once did just a few years ago. Personally, I like to think of the air traffic controllers like duct tape. We are strong, versatile in holding this air traffic control system together. When duct tape is exposed to harsh and forgiving elements, it may appear tattered but still does the job. But eventually, after enough negative exposure, the glue loses its cohesiveness and is no longer able to do the job. Right now, despite looking really weathered, I still come to work with a smile on my face and a hope that things will get better. Not just because I'm a positive person, but I honestly cannot imagine it getting any worse. I'm open to any questions if anyone has anything specifically about Long Beach.
We'll continue with Monday's NATCA press conference in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. We'll now hear edited reporter questions for NATCA representatives with their answers from Monday morning's press teleconference.
We'll open up for questions for all three, Pat, Ray, and Jason.
Pat, do you have any estimates, given that the 1,658 people who are gone, do you have any estimates for the current fiscal year of how many people will hit the mandatory age and how many people will quit substantially before the mandatory age?
I think a vast majority will quit before the mandatory age, and I would bet that this next year coming up was going to be worse than this year, especially in light of the fact that we don't get a contract. There's really no incentive for these people to stick around. They could retire in January if they're already eligible, and there's probably 2,200 right now that are eligible to go. Probably the only reason some of them have stuck around or most of them have stuck around is because of the possibility of us being able to have a contract. But I believe the FAA is estimating that 695 will retire. I believe it's going to be much, much higher than that.
Pat, it's John Hughes from Bloomberg. I think your theme here is that the controllers are retiring at faster than expected rates, and they're retiring in part because this contract that was imposed is lousy. And you're saying that, I think, if you can get this new contract or get back to the bargaining table and get a better contract, you could help stem the flow of retirements. And if that's true, I'm wondering if you believe you could cut down the number of retirements by 10% or 20% or some amount if you can get a contract with the FAA.
I think that if we were able to get a contract, like the IG said and the GAOA said, that even the prospect of just the ability to go back to the table and negotiate a fair contract under a fair process, that will probably stifle most of the people that are leaving right now. At least I hope it will. A lot of it also falls into the fact that the way they're being treated in the facilities is adding quite a distraction to the environment. And quite frankly, you know, that's a concern too. And a lot of these controllers are saying, you know what, I'm burned out, I'm fatigued, I'm going to make a damn mistake. I can't stand the work environment I'm working in. I can't stand the environment I live in. And quite frankly, I'd just soon leave so I don't kill somebody. So I think that the bottom line is if we had the prospect, the real prospect of actually getting back to the table and having a fair process to deal with these issues, the one that we can live with, that we can agree to, that we can ratify, I think, yeah, that'll stifle most of the retirements.
In other words, you could cut retirements by more than half or by three-fourths or what?
I would say probably better than half.
Even though some people are going to be hitting the age anyway, right?
No, you got to understand, you know, of these 856 people that retired this year, 16 of them were at the mandatory retirement age. The rest of them are all younger. They're going when they're right eligible, 25 years, like Ray Gibbons said from Chicago. You know, he was eligible on that day he retired. He says, enough is enough.
And just to jump on that a little bit, Pat, you know, you have the issue of the contract. You have the issue of compensation. I mean, my pay's frozen for the foreseeable future if I continue to work, or I can retire and get cost of living increases. That's a pretty simple choice from a financial standpoint. But that's really not the totality of it. It's the work environment. There's a significant change that was put in place along with the imposed work rules and this particular administration of the FAA. And there was a very clear signal sent and training given to first-line supervisors and above that it was very important for them to reestablish who was in charge and how they were going to manage the work environment. And it has evolved into just being completely oppressive, something other than I'd ever seen in my collective 20 years prior to that. So air traffic control is where you need a team approach, and you need people working together, and that the identities between first-line supervisor and controller is pretty much seamless. Well, they have successfully delineated that into us versus them, and we're in charge and do what we say. And that is really alienating more people like myself than any other factor.
Guys, this is Paul Plack from Aero News. I wanted to ask a question about overtime and vacations. On a couple of recent occasions, the FAA has pointed to the number of controllers choosing to be on overtime lists and the fact that most in the system is seeing people get to take vacations as scheduled. as evidence that they are not understaffed. One of the statistics that came out was that a majority of controllers are on the voluntary overtime lists. I wonder, Pat, if you could comment on that, if that's true, and maybe Jason, from his perspective, could tell us if he is on a voluntary overtime list or whether this is being pushed on him.
I would acknowledge that that probably is true. The majority of controllers are on the voluntary overtime lists. I can't tell you as to the reasons or rationale why they are. However, they don't like it. A lot of times it's so they can get people out on vacation and other things so they can get some breaks. And a lot of places, they're on the list whether they like it or not. I mean, they're going to call them and assign them anyway. Places like Atlanta, they're all required to work overtime even though they don't want to. So, I mean, it varies from place to place. In some places where the staffing might not be quite as bad as others, you know, there's going to be people volunteer for it.
Jason, do you want to comment on that?
Yes, I will. I will admit I am on the overtime list. I would rather not be. As a whole facility, most of the people, there is always overtime. You're kind of not immune from it. I try to take what I can because of this pay structure, because I got to make my ends meet. My salary is not what I was told it was going to be me 3 years ago, you know. And like I said, I got $100,000, almost $100,000 in student loans, and I got to pay those. And I mean, I need the overtime, but it does wear you. You know, after about 2-3 weeks of it, it does wear you out. But I'm only on it because they're not paying me what they told me they were going to pay me, and I have to make my student loan payments.
Theoretically, if everybody, this is Jim Carroll again, if everybody theoretically said, we're not going to sign up for overtime, would it bring the system to a crunching halt?
No, what they'll do is they'll just assign it anyway, and they're already doing that at many facilities. They just tell you you're going to work, and if you don't show up, you get disciplined. You can be removed.
And we have that kind of going on currently at our facility. Controllers are tired, and you know, they miss a shift or something. They are following up on that as a regularly assigned shift.
The U.S. House of Representatives included a provision in its FAA funding proposal which would force the agency back to the bargaining table with controllers. The Senate appears not inclined to follow, and regardless, the White House promises a veto if such a provision does clear Congress. But it's also going to be a presidential election year, so it's hard to know what compromises might be made. If FAA reauthorization happens without a provision to reopen contract talks, and if there is a large portion of the controller workforce waiting to see how that decision goes before deciding whether to retire, January could prove a very exciting time for the FAA's HR department. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.